Hallelujah. Hey. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the worship, oh God. You alone are worthy to be praised, oh God. We thank you for the finished work of God. We thank you for restoration that has been made available. We thank you for the gift of deliverance, the gift of faith, the gift of mercy. We thank you for loving us before the foundation of this world, O God. Father, you knitted us together in our mother's womb, O Father. Father, you know our every strength, our every weakness, our every challenge, Father. But yet you chose to come down and die for us, O Lord. So, Father, we receive your gift of salvation this morning. We receive your forgiveness. We receive your love, O God. And, Father, we magnify you. We glorify you, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Elohim, Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, of God. So, Father, you are our healer in the time when we are sick, Father. You are our provider in the time of need. You are the one that, you know, that covers us, that protects us when weapons are formed against us, oh God. So, Father, we give you praise, we give you worship, because it all belongs to you. Yours is the kingdom. And, Father, we thank you for all that you have done. And for everything that is still about to manifest in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. Whoa. Sweet Holy Spirit. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. Hallelujah. Oh, 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 oh. moment to speak in your heavenly language with your Father. I want you to receive His love this morning. Receive whatever you need this morning. Take this moment. Onda la kata balikindo lolokosha tabalikindi lili. Rakata balikoto la makate lili kondo lolo. Hida loka lili loroko tabalikindo loroko tabalikindi lili. Onda la la balikindo lolokosha tabalakandi lili undo onda la makindi lili. Ina la onda la balikindo lolo la la makindi lolo lolo anda. Inga kondo lolo kosha tabala le kendo londa la ba kendo lolo. Inga la 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 kashe tele le ponda la ba la kendo lolo. Ola se la 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 kendo lolo onda la le. Onda la le de lolo kosha tabala kande lolo. Inga la la ondo lolo onda le kendo lolo onda la la endo lolo onda le. We worship you, we worship you, we worship you. Holy Spirit, this is your home.
Amen. Yes.
And thank you for welcoming us into your presence.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. There's a sweet Holy Spirit in this room. Spirit. Oh, this is what I saw in the spirit this morning. As our brother Jeremiah stood at this point, when he did that particular song, I literally saw him in 3D. Oh. And not long after that, what I saw in the spirit, I saw a dark city of Cape Town. And I saw Cape Town Stadium, and I saw a lightning that strikes the city. And the more we worship, the more the lightning became intense. So there is a worship coming out of our church that is about to hit the city. I saw it in the spirit. I prophesy it. I decree it. In the mighty name of Jesus, I need only two or three to agree with me this morning. When two or three agrees in His name, then anything that we ask, everything that we believe for, it is possible, it is finished, it is complete. So Father, thank you for making our worship intense. Thank you for making our worship intense. And thank you for elevating us. And thank you for increasing us. And thank you for multiplying us. In Jesus' name, and everybody shout, amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Jesus. So, morning family, you know, as much as I tried to figure out what God would do on a Sunday, trust me, I don't even know what God is going to do on a Sunday. I try to figure out, I just stick to what He tells me to do, and that's prepare the message. So before I get into my message this morning, I hope I won't be too long. On the mentality side of things, remember, remember that is on the Saturday, we ran it past Brother Anthony. Brother Anthony's happy, so I'm happy. So we thought our family, our woman, our mothers, they need a bit of laughter. And I know with economic standards and everything that's happening, I know it's difficult to get to a theater sometimes, so we are bringing the theater to you.
Come on.
So we want you to have fun. Invite a friend at 50 Rand. And then the Sunday morning, the 12th of May, the men still have something special for you, a peanut butter sandwich plus a cool drink this time. So that is our Mother's Day upcoming events. And I don't know, I asked Karen and Harold, I asked, where did the rivalry start between mentality and sweet lips? Eat that sweet lips. I think Brother Henry came up with those words. You better trademark it before we start making money over. So this morning I want to continue on my series, part four, called Counterculture. I want to speak to you this morning on the culture of love. Now, Pastor Alice is like, but you spoke on love last week. I'm like, no, I'm not done yet. Even though I plan, whenever I preach a new series, I always try to keep it to 4 weeks max. But obviously, as I'm digging and the more I'm going into the Word, the more I'm realizing there is so much more that we need to share around the counterculture. Amen. Now, if you're smart enough, now, I'm not a very smart guy, but if you're smart enough, it's actually saying Christ culture, not counterculture. It's just another word for Christ culture.
Come on.
So we are the counterculture in a dying world, in a dark world, in a world of deceptive spirits, in a world where we save the whales and we kill the babies. In a world where right is wrong and wrong is right. So this morning, I'm not going to be a bit too hard on you this morning, because I know I've been hard on you for the last few weeks. But today I'm going to put a bit of, you know, first aid on you. I'm going to put a plaster on you and, you know, get you back into the game. And then next week we'll go again, a bit hard again, because this is one of those hard series that we preach. So in 1 John chapter 4, you've noticed we kind of made the text of the scripture but smaller on the screens, because we want to encourage you to bring your Bible. We want to encourage you. So wherever you read, if you have your phone Bible with you, or if you have your book Bible with you, I want to encourage you to read your Bible. Open up the book in church. Test the Spirit. Because I know you trust me. I know you love me. But I can also speak a lot of nonsense here, and you don't even know. So go test the Word. If God doesn't approve it, don't listen to Dane. Go to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the Word of God says. And get the book in place. Let us start taking notes. Let us be intentional about our worship. Let us be intentional about learning about the Word of God. So in 1 John chapter 4, 7 to 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. In verse 8 it says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Last week we spoke about the culture of hate, and we said, if you have no forgiveness in your heart, then you are literally like a murderer. Today we are saying, if you cannot love, then you don't know God. How do we develop a culture of love in a dying society? Love is not of this world or of our flesh. Love is supernatural. Love is far above our understanding. Love is far above what we could ever imagine. Love is not for me or of my five senses. I don't only love when I feel the goosebumps of love or the butterflies in my stomach. Now I'm loving you. If you base love on that measurement, then you are missing the deepness and the mark of love. There are two things that must occur for us to love each other. Number one, we must be born of God. And secondly, we must know God. If you are not born of God, if you don't know God, how can you say you love your wife? Because if you are unsaved and you say you love your wife, that is not true love. Sure. That is almost, I can say, lust or far-fetched. You know, I was thinking, what word can I use? And as I got into the shower, I thought of the magicians, you know, the magic, they use something called a false bottom. When they do magic tricks or whatever you call it, or trickery, they have a false bottom in some of their devices to deceive you. Now, if you don't know God, or if you're not born of the Spirit, then that kind of love is a love of a false bottom. You cannot love by rejecting God, who is love. Being born again is the beginning of a life filled with God's kind of love, or having a revelation of God Himself. If you don't have a revelation of God Himself, then you will not understand how to love. If you don't have the revelation of God, you will not even know how to break out in worship like we did this morning, because you haven't understood how much God loves me. As long as you don't understand how God loves you, you will always hate yourself. You will always criticize the way you look. Oh, my body. Oh, my this. I don't have that or this. And you know what? And it goes on and on. So it's important for us to, number one, be born of God. And secondly, we must know God. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, it describes God's kind of love. What it looks like. How it would act. Or in some cases, how it doesn't act. There are 16 descriptions of love that are the character and the nature of love. One of them is found in Corinthians 13 verse 6 that says, love does not rejoice in iniquity. Yeah. Let me read the full verse from verse 4 to 8. It says, love suffers long, and love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. In verse 5 it says, it does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoking. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So God is love. So love don't boast of itself. Love don't want to see the brother or sister fall. Love doesn't even cause slander. Love doesn't cause rejoicing when somebody fails. Love is the kind of love of God. It's the love that is birthed from the cross. And once you receive that love from Jesus from above, that love starts to work on the inside of you. And as it is working on the inside of you, it will start to flow out of you. You know, when your nature starts kicking in, you know, there are so many times I want to take people out, and then the God nature kicks in, and God reminds me, Dane, don't lead with your head, but lead with your heart. But Jesus, in this world, we cannot lead with our hearts, because the world will come and nail us down. They will try to manipulate us. And then the Holy Spirit will remind me and say, but lead with your heart. This is the strength of a Christian. This is the strength of a Christian woman and a Christian man. God's kind of love. God's love cannot operate in wrongdoing. But in our world today, sin is openly celebrated and presented as love. All the right is wrong and all the wrong is right. The second part of verse 6 says, but rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices in the truth. I love what Brother Anthony said a couple of years back. Let's bask into his love. Let us bask into his love. You know, when it says, I lay you down in green pastures, in Psalms 20, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is what we're talking about. We are basking in his love. We are basking in his presence. And it's like when you go, you know, when you prepare a bath for yourself after a busy day, and you put some bubble bath in, and you just simmer, and you just, you know, soak into that bath. This is how we should soak into the love of Christ, because we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The counterculture rejoices in God's word and celebrates truth, not iniquity. We celebrate truth and not iniquity. God's love is his character and his nature, not our independence from him. We need to be dependent on God wholeheartedly, not in just some areas of our life. Oh God, you can have Sunday morning. I'm dependent on you on a Sunday morning, but Monday through Saturday, I'm dependent on myself. No, this is not the kind of love that we are talking about. God's kind of love is where we are dependent on him in season and out of season. Whether the storms come, whether the storms don't come, we praise him. We worship him. We lift him up. We glorify him. We give him all the praise. My notes are colored with low tones today, so I'm not going to shout a lot. I want you to get what I'm saying. We cannot give what we don't have. So our ability to love starts when we truly believe and receive God's love. When we truly believe and receive God's love. In the church today, we can see who loves God, or who, I won't say who loves God, but who received God's love or didn't receive his love. Because the way they think about themselves, the way they sometimes behave themselves, you can see that they don't understand God's love. And this is why our church subscribes, if I can put for the lack of a better word, we subscribe to preaching the gospel of grace. Because for far too long, people have been, you know, I don't know what's the word, they've been disciplined for too long in a way they shouldn't have been disciplined. And we've come to the notion that we need to perform to get God's attention. And because we don't understand the love of our Father, we cannot be the culture of love in a culture where deception is taking place. In fact, it is impossible for us to love with God's kind of love until by faith we believe it and then receive it for ourselves. Amen. So love must be received by faith. We all must experience God's love before we can even express it. If you have never experienced God's love, you will never be able to express His kind of love. Now, we said last week that when you forgive, you don't forgive so the other person could benefit. You forgive so that you can benefit. Now, I said it before, when we read our Bible, when we worship, when we do all of these things, does God find pleasure in it? Yes, He finds pleasure in it, but it's really not for His benefit, but it's for our benefit. So the more we read the scripture and the more we get into the word, the more we start to understand His love for us. And the more you understand His love for you, the more you become bold in the boardroom, the more you become bold of stepping out of the boat and walking on water, because you understand your Father's love. And the reason why you're not fulfilling your purpose is because you don't know His love. The reason why you don't like giving is because you don't understand His love. The reason you don't like to serve is because you don't understand His love. The sooner you understand His love, the sooner you bask in His love, the sooner you will see the expression of His love manifest into your life. Oh, Jesus. I promise I'm not going to be hard this morning. So, your expression of worship will never be, I don't know what's the word, I don't want to say good enough, but you know what I mean. It will never be purposeful, like, if you don't understand His love for you. And if we want to be the change in the world, we need to receive His love. In John, the apostle of God's kind of love says in 1 John 4, 16-17 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." In verse 17 it says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." So when we receive His love, remember when I preached the message, "Come boldly to His throne," I can now come boldly to His throne without fear of judgment, because His love has perfected me. Oh, it is finished. It is done. I am perfect in the image of my Father. I am made in His likeness. I am made in His image. So my Father, so when you look in the mirror, I don't see Dane Masani no more. I see the Christ that is on the inside of me, the hope and the glory. I have been perfected. And He gives me a kind of confidence that the world might say is arrogance, but I'm telling you, it's a confidence that is residing on the inside of me. So wherever I place my feet, I possess land. I know this is cliche, but it's true. Wherever I place my feet, I will possess the land. You know how many times I go into a McDonald's and it's empty when I get there? But the time when I leave McDonald's, guess what? There's a queue behind me. Wherever I place my feet, favor follows me. You know how many times I go to my barber and then I'm the first customer and I ask him, "Boss man, where's the buzzer?" He's like, "No, it's quiet today." And the time when I leave, there's a queue behind me wherever I place my feet, because I'm walking in the confidence of His love. I am confident of His love. Oh, Jesus. So, I spoke in Ecclesiastes where I read that princes walks like slaves, and slaves are riding on the horsebacks of the princes. And we are now living in a culture where the Christian believer now has to go first to the Philistine, to the bank, and they have to get the loan approved before they come to testify in the church about God's goodness. Sure. This is almost like us riding or walking as slaves. With this kind of love, I understand my value and I understand my authority. I remember a few years back, Tersha and Tanya, I remember they weren't working. And everybody was coming to give them a job and say, hey, do this job. And they would keep on rejecting this job. And every time when they reject, and then people will start to gossip about them and say, but you're a sickle, and so you must take a job. And they were holding out because they understood their value. And the moment, I mean, they kept holding out. And I think Tony got a job in the city at the time. Tersha also started in the health department at the time. And ever since, they walked into the goodness of God. So we don't have to settle for less, because we understand our value. We understand the love of the Father. The sooner we understand the love, the sooner we will manifest the love in our life. Now, if a child doesn't know who he is or who she is, you will see they are defeated. You will see them being dysfunctional. Now, I used to be that boy where I was dysfunctional. I didn't understand the love of my earthly father or earthly mother. And that affected my confidence. That affected my identity. Until I came into Christ and I understood that when he said it is finished, he traded my sorrowful bad life and he gave me his good life. He gave me his confidence and he gave me his perfected love. So notice, they knew God loved them and believed it. We receive God's love for us by revelation and faith only. In verse 17 says, love has been perfected among us in this. Perfected in what? Knowing and believing God's love for us. Few believers are walking in God's kind of love because they don't know how much God loves them. They think that God is out to get them. They think that the part of the scripture that says the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, they think that is God's function. They think he's coming to kill, steal, and to destroy. And this is why they don't apply for the job they should be applying for. This is why they don't step out of the boat because they need to step out of the boat. Because they don't understand the love of the Father. So once we come to know it, we must then believe it.
Amen. That's right.
When we come to know it,
come on,
we must then believe it. It takes faith to believe God's love for us. It takes faith to believe God's love for us. It takes faith. Let it simmer in. It takes faith. It takes faith. So once we come to know and believe, we are then able to share it with our neighbors. Right believing, right teaching produces right living. If you cannot believe right, if you cannot be taught right, you will never manifest right.
That's right.
So right believing plus right teaching produces right living. So once you know and believe his love, you can now manifest his love to your neighbors, to your boss, to the caretaker, to the guy in the street, to the waiter, waitress, the beggar, to the guy in the boardroom that cusses at you. In verse 17, it goes on to say that we will have boldness in the day of judgment, and then declares what we are as Jesus is in this world, so we are. This is a reference to our born-again spirit. So when we became born again, our spirit was perfected. Our spirit was completed. Our spirit is just as Jesus is. So your spirit doesn't need to do the growing because it has been perfected. It is now your soul and your mind that needs to catch up with that love. It is now your soul and mind that needs to catch up with that truth. So I know I spoke about, you know, the trophies and the fingerprints. But I want to say to our young men, Jada. I'm not saying to you, but Jada. Watch out for our young ladies that is coming out of Christ culture. Because they are not going to be walkovers. They are going to be confident young women that knows who they are in Jesus. Because if you know who you are in Jesus, the guy can promise you the moon and the stars and alles wat sa moet kom. But if you know who you are, the devil cannot take you up. The devil cannot walk over you. Nobody will touch your trophy. Because I know who I am and whose I am. Now, young woman. Now, young woman, wait, watch out for the young men that is coming through.
That's right.
They are confident, gentlemen, loving kind of men.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
They will know how to treat a woman.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
We're going to manifest this kind of love in this church.
Yes.
So as Jesus is in this world, this is a reference to our born-again spirit. We are not as Jesus in our unrenewed minds or our bodies, but in our renewed mind. And this is why the Bible says we need to renew our mind daily.
Come on.
You're not just going to come to the altar and Pastor Daniel's going to lay hands on you and then we're going to sing Gumbaya, O Lord, whole week. No. Tomorrow morning when you wake up again, you have to renew your mind.
Yes.
On Tuesday when you wake up, you got to renew your mind. On Wednesday, you might feel a bit depressed. You got to renew your mind. On Thursday and Friday and Saturday, you got to renew your mind. Of His love for us. Our spirit is the part of us that is righteous and truly holy. It has God's love in it by the Holy Spirit. According to Romans 5 verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. There is a day of judgment coming. But because we have believed God's love for us in Jesus and through Jesus, we will have the boldness in that day to stand before our Father. Because of God's kind of love, we have been forgiven and accepted by God, whereas the world that is abiding in hate will not. So if you don't choose Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, it will not go good for you on that day. But for those who are in Christ and who understands His love will have boldness. In Titus chapter 2 verse 4. Oh, sorry. I jumped ahead of myself. So, I shared last week in our messages titled The Culture of Hate of how love is taught and not caught. We need to teach love in the church.
Yes.
If you think somebody will catch love like a bug or like a flu bug, you got it wrong. You need to show love. You need to teach love. When you show compassion and mercy and love to your fellow brothers and sisters, your daughters and your sons will watch and see you doing it. If they see it, because your action speaks louder than your words. So we need to show a display of love. And this is why Titus in 2:4 says that older women must train the younger woman to love their husbands and their children. So older woman, I'm talking to you. You need to train your woman, your daughters, how to love their husband and love their children unconditionally with the love of God. Can I get an amen in this place? Can I get an amen in this place? Yes, I'm talking to you with your sasa card. You got to tell them about the love of the Father. There are three major ways, and then I'll be heading to my end this morning. There are three major ways God has revealed His love and thereby teaches us to love one another. Number one, the Holy Spirit by revelation. So He teaches us by revelation. In Romans 5 verse 5, like I said, this is the NLT version. It says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with His love. So when I love you, if I didn't have Jesus in my heart, you would have gotten a bitter love from me. But because Jesus is in my heart, He checks my heart and says, hey Dave, what's that in your heart? Hey, are you sure that is the kind of love I want you to have? So with His love in our heart, it gives us the capacity to love one another with faults or no faults. It is the Holy Spirit in our hearts that reveal God's love to us. God's kind of love is not like the world's type of love. In the world, love is felt with our senses. Oh, let's go to a love concert and let's feel gooey about the love. And they will say, okay, save the whales. And they will think it's love. God and His kind of love are revealed and then taught to us by the Holy Spirit. Paul is praying for the church of Ephesus, and he asks in Ephesians 1, 17, 18, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God, so that you may grow in the love of God. In verse 18 it says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He called. His holy people, who are His rich and glorious inheritance. He has given you love. All you need is love. Hey. So that you can inherit the goodness of your Father. A revelation in the knowledge of Him is one of love. As we grow in revelation of His love for us, we begin to love others in the same way. Somebody once asked me, Pastor, how can you forgive that person if that person did this and that to you? And I said to them, if I was loved with my love, I wouldn't probably forgive them. But because I understand the love of my Father, and the more I'm starting to bask in His love, the more and more I'm starting to feel compassion towards people that the world would say don't feel compassion towards, because I'm loving with the love of Christ. Now the church has become like this whole cancel vibe now, the whole cancel culture vibe, where they're now saying, but Pastor, you need to distance yourself, you need to do this, you need to cut them off, you need to do that. And I've come to learn that you got to love in season.
Yes.
You got to love out of season. Do you think when Judas kissed Jesus on the cheek that he did not know who Judas was? So if he can love a guy that was about to betray him, who are you and I to write people off?
Come on.
We got to love with His love. So Father, help us to bask in your presence so that we can love the hardest of heart criminal, so that we can love the prostitute, so that we can love the beggar, so that we can love the boss that treats us bad. Let us love unconditionally.
Jesus.
Woo. If you don't respond, it's okay, I'm preaching to myself. Because I don't know about you, but I need a lot of deliverance still. But you the pastor, yes, I say that I still need deliverance as well.
Come on.
So as we receive His forgiveness, We are then able to forgive others and receive by revelation and receive His mercy. We now share His mercy and His love. You know, sometimes I feel like Moses when I say, Lord, take your people. And then God's like, no, it's your people. I'm like, no, it's not my people, it's your people. But then I realize the more the gift of pastoring, the pastoral gift, start to mesh with the love of what God has, the more the love within me starting to grow bigger. And I'm starting to say, Lord, I think it's Harold that said it the other day. He said, somebody did something in the church and Harold's like, did pastor really sign off on that? Because he knows I wouldn't sign off on certain things. And he's like, did he really sign off on that? So God is working with me.
Come on.
God is working with me. I am dysfunctional just like you. I have problems just like you. But the more I bask in His love, the more His love starts to manifest in my life. In 1 Thessalonians 4:9 it says, but we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other. For God Himself has taught you to love one another. Hey, the time is going again. We are taught by God, not by men or man to love. It is only God's kind of love that can save this world.
Amen.
Not your truth.
Amen.
Not your love. Not your human capacity. Only the love of Christ.
Yes.
Can save this world.
Come on.
Yes, I almost criticized myself here now. You with your skinny jeans think it's your skinny jeans that's saving people. No, it's not your skinny jeans. It is the love of the Father. And if we as Christ culture cannot display the love of the Father, then we might as well pack this down and go home.
Amen.
If we talk about going big or go home, we actually say we need to love harder. And we need to love with God's kind of love. So it's not your love that is need to be taught. Because our love is conditional. But God's love is unconditional. Now God may use men as vessels, men and women, but it is the Holy Spirit working in and through them that reveals and teaches God's kind of love. Men who do not know God or are not born of Him cannot know such a love or even teach love at all. Ouch. I thought it's my love. So God who is love is known by the Spirit, not the senses or the carnal unrenewedness of my mind. In Romans 8:6-7 it says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. In verse 7 it says, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws and it will never obey God's laws. Your thinking or your stinking thinking or your unrenewed mind thinking is hostile. And you're going to solve the problem as a hostage negotiator being hostile. You do this or I take you out. But with God's kind of love, it is unearned, it is undeserved, and it is the unmerited favor of God. So we gotta love the way Jesus loves us. In 2 Corinthians 5:7 it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We know God and we know God and please Him by faith. If you want to please God, love people because you're walking by faith. Not our emotions or our five senses, hearing, smelling, sight, taste, and feeling. We have too many Christians walking in church with feeling.
Come on.
They're walking around with emotions instead of walking with faith and walking with knowing. There are Sundays when I come to church where I maybe didn't feel the goosebump moments. But it doesn't question me. It doesn't bother me because It is not about my feeling. If God loves me, I know that my Father loves me.
Yes.
So I'm walking in the confidence of His love and His perfected will. God is spirit and is to be worshipped in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
In Matthew 16, 13, verse 17, we see how God is known. Jesus, who's God's love made flesh, is known by revelation, and revelation is something revealed by God. How do we know this? In verse 13, it says, Matthew 16, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do you believe? Who do you say that the Son of Man is? In verse 14, while they replied, some said John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. In verse 15, it says, then he asked them, but who do you say I am? In verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven hath revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Are you willing to lay your human love down and take the human love of the cross? Are you willing to teach the love of Jesus around the world instead of your condemnating type of love? We love because He loved us first. We give because He gave first. When Jesus asked His disciples in Matthew 16, 13, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man. They gave numerous answers. Some said John, some said Elijah, and so on. But Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded to him and said, Peter's accurate account of him, it is not of flesh, but it is of God. So God revealed to Peter who Jesus is. Jesus is love. Jesus is God's kind of love. He who abides in love abides in God. Number two, the cross. Love is revealed through the cross of Jesus. God proved His love for us over 2,000 years ago. Love is known by action that occurred on the cross, by the past, by the cross. He demonstrated His love for us on the cross.
Yes.
When the guy on the left, who was a murderer, he was said, you will be absent from the body, but you will be present with me. Now the world will say, hey, you need to be punished. You need to go through this. You need to go through that. You need to jump through hoops. But the kind of love of God is revealed through the cross of Jesus and not a circumstance in the present or your emotions in the present. While God is with me in my present, working, moving, and revealing Himself, He has already proven His love for me at the cross. Even if He says, Dane, I love you, or don't say, Dane, I love you, I know that He manifested His love.
Come on.
On the cross. More than 2,000 years ago. If I feel depressed, guess what? I look at the cross. When I feel like going down, I'm looking at the cross.
Yes.
It is that kind of love,
yes,
that is manifested in my heart. We become people of words and a people of action. Let us show a demonstration of God's love.
Amen.
I can never allow my current circumstances to cause me to waver or question God's love. Now you go through the valley, you go through the mountaintop. When you get the job promotion, God is good. When you don't get the job promotion, He doesn't like me. No.
Oh, come on.
No, His love is constant for you and I. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish,
but will have everlasting life. Now, sometimes we have arguments with ourselves, and sometimes we argue or we allow the enemy to speak through us to ourselves and tell us, and we kind of talk ourselves out of his goodness. We talk ourselves out of his love. We talk ourselves out of what he has done for us more than 2,000 years ago. So this reference to the cross, the giving of Jesus on the cross for our sins, was God's love for us. In Romans 5:8 it says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He sent his only beloved Son, his only begotten Son, for us who are sinners, to demonstrate his love. So first, his love is revealed, and then second, his love is proven by his action on the cross. To demonstrate is to prove something. Now, in the King James Version, uses the word commendeth. And commend means to introduce or exhibit, to constitute or approve. God introduced and exhibited his love on the cross to the world. He showed it off to the world, his love. And there is evidence of this love. In 1 John 3:16 it says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We got to lay our lives down for our brethren. So the reason we lay our life down is because he loved us first. Now, if I look at Tersh and myself, we could probably travel the world. We can do anything we want to do. But because we understand his love for us, we want to take what he has given us and sow it into the lives of people. Because we understand the sacrifices that he made for us. And we're not sacrificing to get his attention. We're sacrificing because he did it first. We are giving because he gave first. We serve because he served first. Everything we do in this house is because Jesus did it first. So when that word love, his love, take root in my heart, I will start to see the manifestation of his love in my life. And this is why you don't like yourself. This is why you don't like your husband. Because you keep on looking at him through your eyes and not through Jesus' eyes. So, woman, I gave you a nice shine yesterday or last week. But I want to let the woman know that what's that verse again, Tersh, you like to quote about the nagging tap?
Nagging woman is like a dripping tap.
A nagging woman is like a dripping tap. So stop nagging on your husband's head. And look at them through the eyes of Jesus. They're only getting one now because they did good for Mother's Day or upcoming Mother's Day. But next week I'll take him out again. We did not earn or deserve that kind of sacrifice. Even today, God's love initiative first in character and virtue, not in response to our conduct or defects. He didn't love us based on what you did right or what you did wrong. He loved you because he loves you, and that's it. But pastor, I didn't pray, I didn't fast, I didn't read the word, so God doesn't love me. No, he loves you.
Come on.
No buts. Jesus plus nothing.
Yes.
The church has been preaching Jesus plus something equals salvation. No, it is Jesus plus nothing.
Come on.
Jesus alone. There is so much I want to say. Let me just get to the last point and I'll bring it home. Number three, the word both living and written, Jesus and scriptures. In John 1:14 it says, and the word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus reveals God, who is love, in John 1:38. in 1 John 3:8. Jesus was God made flesh, or God with eyeballs and hands. So Jesus became God in flesh. He became the living Word. In 1 John verse 1, John spoke of the word they had heard and seen. The New Living Translation put it in this particular way, where it says, we saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. The writer of Hebrews makes it very plain and clear who Jesus is. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 it says, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Christ is the brightness of God's glory and express image of his person. He didn't reveal just a part of God or some of God. He revealed all of God. He was the physical, tangible, touchable image of the living God when the love became flesh. I receive your love. Your love worketh on the inside of me. And then the love that you have given me start to manifest around me.
Amen.
So the word love must become flesh. Christ is the brightness of God's glory and expression of his image as the person called Jesus Christ. He didn't reveal just a part of God or some of God, but revealed all of God. In Colossians 1:15 it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God.
Amen.
He is the visible image of the invisible God.
Yes.
Do you know they're even trying to debunk the crucifixion? They're even trying to debunk praying in tongues. Because they are trying to make this visible God invisible again. He exists before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. He is supreme over my prosperity. He is supreme over my healing. He is supreme over my situation. He is one and only God. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is Jesus.
Woo. Jesus, mighty God.
But you fear your government over him. And he was before time. I mean, he knitted you together in your mother's womb. He has given you the words to a song before you even existed. It's not even your copyright, it's his copyright. You think you're brilliant, you're not brilliant. He is the brilliance of you. Because once you understand that Ethan, your musical ability, you think it's yours, it's not yours. It is him manifesting through you. And the sooner you realize this, the sooner you will be starting to see the manifestation of his love. So Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. That's what my words is in the Bible, Colossians 1:15. I wish I could claim it. Christ is, let's summer. He is the visible image of an invisible God. In John 14:7 it says, Jesus said to his disciple, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. Who has seen me has seen the Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So why do you still cry in the mirror with that ugly makeup on your face, talking about this part of your body and that part of your body? If you have Christ in you, then you are the very spitting image of your Father.
Come on.
And this is why the enemy comes with the counterculture trying to stop you from understanding your value.
Yes.
Because once you understand your value, then nothing can stop you. Hate words cannot stop you. Gossip cannot stop you. Your school teachers cannot stop you. Your negative thinking cannot stop you. Because you understand the love of the Father. So number four. Love warns of danger. And I'm closing with this. In addition to ministering to people, the disciples were instructed to preach the gospel in the cities surrounding Jerusalem. They were to stay in the homes and share the good news of God's love. If it was a worthy house and receptive to the gospel, they were to leave their peace upon that house. If not, the peace was to return back to them. In Matthew 10, 14, 15, it says, if any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such a town on the judgment day. So we need to preach Christ. And I said it last week. When I correct you because I love you. I correct you because I want you to see Jesus manifesting in your life. Remember, saints, this was love speaking. Jesus operated perfectly in God's love. If people rejected the gospel spoken to them, then judgment would one day come. When people reject the scriptures, they are rejecting God Himself. Jesus spoke of the coming judgment on the city of Capernaum for rejecting Him. So if you reject Jesus, then good luck to you. You will be standing before Jesus as yourself and not as the Christ. Because if I die today and I receive Jesus as my personal Savior, when I go stand before my Father, He doesn't see Dane Masani, but He sees the Christ in me.
Amen.
He sees the love that has been perfected. And you got to speak the truth.
Amen.
You got to speak about Jesus coming. You got to speak the Christ in His fullness. You cannot speak partly of Him. You got to speak the whole truth. Nothing but the truth of Jesus Christ. So help me, God. Thank you, Brother Anthony. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to leave it there. So we must preach the cross, which is the power of God of salvation, and live out God's word, showing loyalty to Jesus above anyone else. We have partial loyalty to this Christ. We have part-time loyalty to Jesus. Oh, I'm only loyal to you on Sunday. Part-time early at church, but the rest of the week you're late. You're late for church, but on time for mammon. Oh, sorry. Sorry. And live out God's word, showing loyalty to Jesus above anyone else or anything else in your life. God's Holy Spirit teaches us what love is and how to love. It is on the cross that God demonstrates His love for us. In His word, both loving Jesus and written scriptures that teaches us God's kind of love.
Amen.
I love because He loved me first.